Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19 speaks to us of the disciples and the law. In verse 17 of Matthew 5, Jesus states, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, or pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We have studied the Beatitudes, and you'll notice that they're not quotations of law. They're not quotations of the prophets, although we do find some similar statements found in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms. But these are not what we would term specific law commands. They don't read like the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not." They say, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." So the attitude of law does not seem to exist in the Beatitudes that Jesus has spoken, and neither does the attitude of law exist in verses 13, 14, and 15, where he speaks of these disciples being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and that they are to do good works to glorify the Father. These are concepts, that is, the concept of being a witness. They're found in the Old Testament, but they're more difficult to see in the Old Testament. So as Jesus teaches and uses these figures of speech to illustrate the work of the church and church-age disciples, I think Jesus begins to see into the minds of these disciples that he's teaching them something that is contradictory to the law of Moses and to the teaching of the prophets, or at least what he's teaching them now supersedes any of the teachings that they've had before. It may seem to these who are listening to the Lord teach that he's setting aside the law, and that he may be even saying, "I have a truth that is far beyond the law, and therefore I'm teaching you something that invalidates the law, and therefore you can forget about the law. You're not bound by the law of Moses anymore, although you're Jews and you are fully aware of the demands of the law. Don't worry about it anymore. Just stick with the Beatitudes, stick with the illustrations, stick with the parables that I'll be teaching you." And I think it's this attitude that Jesus sees in his disciples, that perhaps they are thinking the law is not applicable any longer, and so we can now just forget about the law. So Jesus said in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." Now, we're not talking about law in the sense of our understanding of it, the laws that regulate civilization. We're talking about now the Ten Commandments, the laws that regulated the offering of sacrifices and things of this nature, specifically the law of God as he gave it to Israel through Moses. It's God's law. Moses was the spokesman. He was the mediator. He is the one who gave Israel this covenant that exists. So we know that he's talking about the law of Moses and the prophets. And the prophets would be Isaiah and Ezekiel and men of this character who spoke many things that was to guide the lives of the Jews. Now the word "think," and it's negated, "think not," means to look upon something as being customary. Now think about that. Jesus said, don't you look upon the law as though it is now a customary way to view the law, that I have come to destroy the law. And the word destroy also has a very peculiar meaning to it. It's a compound word that means literally to loose down, but if we were to translate it into our language, it would be to don't get it in your mind that from now on, or from now on, to think that I've come to dismantle the law, which has in it the idea of unloosening some bolts and taking them out so that it just sort of comes apart under its own power. It has in it the idea of disuniting the parts of anything and therefore to dismantle it. So Jesus said, don't get it in your mind that from now on it's just going to be a customary belief among us that I've come to dismantle the law so that it will have no more importance to the nation of Israel. And he makes a distinction here. I didn't come to dismantle the law. I have come to fulfill the law. And this word, of course, means to accomplish or to complete or to perform fully. So Jesus is warning them. Now, don't you people think and get the idea that from now on you're not under the law. You are still under the law, and I have not come to dismantle it and set it aside like you would dismantle some object that is made up of a number of parts, but I've come to complete it. I've come to live it fully, to do all that it teaches. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, the law was to remain in full force and inviolate until it was fulfilled in its entirety. In verse 18, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. And the word verily is the word amen. It's the word we imitate when we say amen, and it emphasizes the force and truth of a statement. And the word pass here means to come to an end. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth comes to an end. So he's talking about an affirmation that it is not time for the law to simply be dismantled and set aside. For he states, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. A tittle was just a little tiny mark shaped like a horn that made the difference in some of the Hebrew words. And so it was considered really a tiny stroke of the pen. So he would be saying in our language, not a period nor a comma is going to change until all has been fulfilled. He has a double negative, no wise, which expresses strong denial. It will not end until everything is fulfilled. And the word that's translated fulfilled here is not the same word that's translated fulfilled in verse 17. Here it has in it the idea of a genesis. And it means to begin to be, to enter upon any state or condition, or literally to become. So Jesus is saying, now the law is going to remain until it is completely fulfilled. Every prophecy is fulfilled. Every pictorial part of the ordinances, every part of that's fulfilled. And I, as the Son of Man, have been able to prove my righteousness by not violating a single law or precept that we are under as a nation. Now, when all of that has occurred, when I have accomplished that, then there will be a new beginning. But all of this will not pass away. It will not be dismantled. It will still be in total force until there comes a time when it is completely fulfilled. And of course, we understand that Jesus is talking about himself and what he will do. That is, until its purpose is complete, until all that must happen has happened. And I think he warns the disciples, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments." He's warning them, "I've taught you some things about mercy and being pure of heart and about letting your light shine. I've taught you a lot of things, but I don't want you to think that now you can be comfortable breaking the law or teaching other people to do it, because it hadn't been fulfilled yet, and this time of a new thing is not ready. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments," and that word "break" there means to unbind, to walk up and to untie something that a person has around them. You remember, the Jews looked upon the law as a binding. And Jesus is saying, look, anyone who will come and unbind one of these least commandments, and here is just the tiniest or the smallest commandment, which is an injunction or a principle by which they live, "and shall teach men so." I think he's saying, look, you people, you're still under the Ten Commandments. You're still under the system of offerings. You're still the priests and the temple offerings. Nothing has changed for you right now. So you must keep the law as God gave it, and you must teach other people to keep the law as God gave it. You cannot instruct people, because when you do this, you shall be called least in the kingdom of God. So here's what the Lord is saying: you must be faithful to the revealed truth. You must not break revealed truth, and you must not teach others to break revealed truth until the time has come. When the time has come, then you'll be able to teach others the truth of the law, and you'll be able to instruct them. "But whosoever shall do and teach them," that means to do the law, the precepts, and all that's involved, to produce them and do it repeatedly. Teacher, it means to give instruction. "The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We're talking about, obviously, the kingdom that would have been instituted had the Jewish people received Jesus as their king. Since that wasn't done, then we would have to refer that over to the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. So Jesus is saying, you people can lose rewards by teaching men to disobey the law and disobeying the law yourselves, or you can earn rewards by staying faithful to the law and teaching people the law by doing the law, so that you can be great in the kingdom that is to come. Now, this is all that Jesus has to say about the kingdom and the law, except in verse 20 we'll study, where he said unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no case enter. And this is not just talking about having rewards in the kingdom, either being small or great. Here it has to do with entrance into the kingdom. And I think we can see that verse 20 has to do with the fact that Moses said, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's the righteousness of the Pharisees. The guy just stands and says, I never murdered anybody. But what would exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee who could truthfully say, I never killed anybody? Well, obviously, it'd be the person who's angry at his brother. That is a righteousness that exceeds law righteousness. Law righteousness has to do with, I never killed anybody. I never committed adultery. Well, were you ever angry, or did you ever lust in your heart? So there is a righteousness of the heart that exceeds the righteousness of the law. And this righteousness that is of the heart comes by faith and is the righteousness we have to have in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Did or was the law fulfilled? In Colossians 2:13 through 17, Paul said that Jesus took the law and blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And this blotting out was a practice that people did when they were getting ready to write, and they had a book they didn't want any longer, and they could take what we would call white out and literally white out all of the writing so that you could write over it again. And Jesus said that Jesus did that. Paul said that that's what Jesus did. He blotted out, he whited out all of the handwriting ordinances, and really the ordinances written in hand that was against us, that he took it out of the way and he nailed it to his cross. Then in Galatians 3:10 through 14, he writes that the law was a schoolmaster to bring Israel to Christ, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So as a system of law, or as a schoolmaster to teach, in every instance it was completely and totally fulfilled by, through, and during the ministry and life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that at that time it was then completely set aside and a new covenant came into force, and that is the new covenant that we live under today. But Jesus is telling these people that's not true now. There are still weeks and months and years before the law can be blotted out, or before it is a schoolmaster that we need no longer. Don't teach it to others. Don't practice it in your life. Go to the temple. Respect the priest. Make your offerings, because we are still under law. So don't let it become a way of thinking. It's just customary to think, well, now we're under the Beatitudes. We don't have to pay attention to the law. Jesus said, don't do that. You'll make a tragic mistake. It's not right. But later, Paul would teach us the law has been fulfilled. It has been completed. It has been blotted out. It's no longer a necessity. So Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, as Jewish people, and Matthew is a writer to those who were primarily Jewish, as John was primarily to the Gentiles. So don't count the law fulfilled until it is fulfilled. Let's stand together now. Have an invitation hymn, one verse. And as we sing, if you're here, you trust the one who blotted out the law. Trust the one who fulfilled it.